The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the house. Danielle Alvari joining us a little later on to talk WNBA. Are the Aces just too good for the rest of the league? Should we all be betting on the Aces already? If not today, if we haven't already. Ben Wilson standing by momentarily on the College World Series. Not the College World Series. Let me get this right again. The College World Series is coming up. It's the NCAA Division I Baseball Championship. It's college baseball's postseason, if you will. And the regionals begin today. Double elimination. And Kelly, I got five teams going this year. All spaced out wonderfully in the brackets. We'll see how it goes. We'll get Ben's thoughts in a minute. A real quick trivia question, because I mentioned this to Jay Kahn moments ago with the Golden Knights. And I asked you this off-air a week ago, Kelly, so now let's see if you even got the answer right, even having been asked this before. The six Vegas Golden Knights that played on their original Stanley Cup Finals
team, and
I spotted you, Marchessault and Carlson.
Whoa, no. Hey, don't take away credit from me. I said Marchessault. Okay?
Yes, you did.
Because it's the only one I could name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was Marchessault that I was dead. I was drawn dead after that.
If you wanna have a hockey fun trivia question with everybody, that's the one. Because the other
how many are there?
Six. The other four: Braden McNabb, which a lot of people would get; William Carrier, which a lot of people would get; Shea Theodore, which I think some would get. The one that I don't know that people get, Zach Whitecloud would be the sixth.
Yeah, no. I think that's a seltzer drink.
It is not. You are mistaken. Ben Wilson joins us, ladies and gentlemen. I have said, and I will say again, he will be the most famous person to ever come out of VSiN not named Brent Musburger. He is the host of many a weekend show here and does play-by-play throughout the country in multiple sports, including college baseball. It's Ben Wilson, everybody. How you doing, Ben?
We're good. I think Kelly's going to be on the mantle of most successful, live comic after that White Cloud comic.
Yeah.
Got me cracking up.
That's right.
That was good. That was good, Kelly.
He'll be playing at Chuckles next week and Knee Slappers the week after that in Lubbock. So
I'm wearing the SEC polo, by the way, because we got a lot of SEC.
Yes. Representation,
a lot of futures tied in, as we've talked about before.
So which SEC teams are you on here?
So I did. We talked Vanderbilt last week, and I was able to find Westgate was actually hanging a 25-1, and then they went out and won the SEC and get a national seed. And here, their number, most books, rest of country, has been cut in half down to 12-1. So I just like the regional they're in. I did also add a play on them to win their regional. I'm pretty disappointing just for the betters, rest of country. That I mean, DraftKings, FanDuel, nobody's offering regional odds, which is pretty frustrating. I think there's maybe one or two books that have done it. There's only two books in Vegas. But the differentials between Circa and William Hill, the two books offering regional prices, I mean, Gil, the teams are spaced out like 75 cents apart in
which is
great for us, right, as bettors. And so Vanderbilt was actually pretty much consensus, $1.45 to $1.50. But I went ahead and played them. I just love the depth of their pitching and the fact they've got a lineup that not many people really believe in as far as a dynamic run scoring lineup, but with Enrique Bradfield, who's a projected top 10 MLB draft pick, just this unbelievably dynamic speed, power center fielder to lead the way for them. I just think they're going to be a much tougher out than people perceive. The draw is also really good. So have them in pocket, like the 25-1 number, and I like the -140. But, you know, the one on the regional side that really jumped out to me as far as maybe mispricing, so to speak, now, most books I saw had Arkansas in the -130, 135 range to win their regional, and Circa was dishing out +125. So that was the one I hopped on immediately. That's my biggest play heading into the regional. And there was a lot made from some of the advanced analytics sites of what a tough regional that is. And so I think there's this perception. It's like, oh, you get a couple of really scary teams in there, like a TCU and an Arizona. But people kind of forget that Arkansas is still a really good team. They still put up really good numbers despite battling injury all season. So that was a pseudo monetization effort on my TCU 40-1 ticket that I made preseason. But since they are in the same regional, but I do like how this stacks up for Arkansas. You underestimate how hard it is to go into Bomb Stadium and actually try to take a regional. I know they've been there before with Dave Van Horn as a very experienced head coach. So I do like the spot for them, even though it's not going to be an easy regional by any means. I do believe they are a rightful, and that has flipped, by the way, now. I know Circa just changed that last night to minus, I think, 130. So a rightful favorite there to come out of that region.
Yeah, Arkansas is 41-16 on the season. They're in the regional with Santa Clara, Arizona, and TCU again. 64 total teams. They're in pods of four, and each of those pods is double elimination. So Arkansas with Santa Clara, Arizona, and TCU. And in the case of Vanderbilt, who you mentioned before, that they're in with Eastern Illinois, Xavier, and Oregon in their little pod. And the regionals will eventually lead to the super regionals, which will lead to the College World Series, which is its own funky little bracket, which is really sort of difficult to even explain without a visual once we get there. But this looks like a standard bracket at this point. Just know that it's double elimination. So the games begin today. You do have a play here?
I do, yeah. And I'm going to add that TCU as well. They're a $1.30 favorite against Arizona, and that is a red-hot team who did win the Big 12 championship. I think that's why. So there are some people who like them as a potential upset over Arkansas facing an Arizona team that is a very, you know, you'll hear the common theme for me, Gil, and we talked about this last year. I'm someone who's going to fade teams that have lots of power at the plate but just don't have much pitching depth. And Arizona does fit the bill, a team that can, you know, they have so many guys who can hit for tons of power, but I'm just not a real believer. They've gotten some interest in the futures market. I just don't believe in their pitching staff. So I've not added TCU yet. I'm going to. Minus 130 is the best number right now. And the one I like for today, so we talked about this last week. I was really tempted to come into this regional setting and fade LSU. And then the committee went out and gave LSU about as good of a draw as you could ask for.
Yes,
I mean,
Tulane is
literally a team drawing dead. They're a team who went 18-40 this year.
Yeah.
And you know, look, there's been, you know, Fresno State in 2008 is the great example of four seed who it wasn't that good and got hot and went to the College World Series. But Tulane is not going to win. They might beat Sam Houston if they're fortunate. But you get Tulane who's pretty much drawing dead in that regional. And Sam Houston was the team who won the WAC tournament. I called a lot of those tournament games last week. And I remember I actually left the day of the final. I had another game to do. And I remember asking one of the parents of one of the Sam Houston players, like, all right, how you guys feeling about the final? How's your pitching? And the dad goes, we ran out of pitching 3 days ago. And, and the tournament had started 3 days ago. So Sam Houston's a team who I think actually finished the season. They led the NCAA in hits. They were down 9-0 in their conference tournament title game and came back and won like a kajillion to 12 or something. So they're the classic team that once you face a step up in competition is going to struggle, even though they can score a ton of runs at the plate. They just don't have the arms at all. And so against Oregon State, who I would have made at least a $2 favorite in their first meeting here, Gil, that's a 2-3 matchup. I will happily take the Beavers. -166 was the number I had.
So you are laying the chalk with Oregon State against Sam Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was really, 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 I had an inkling to want to play them to win the regional, but they haven't beat a single top 25 RPI team all year, played nobody in the non-con. I just couldn't quite get there regional bet-wise with Oregon State.
Yeah, two things. Tulane, 19-40. Ben, how dare you sell them short at 18-40. The other thing, you know, and this is, we say this about Major League Baseball as well, that if, you know, this team slips into the postseason, especially in a short series, you know, they have the pitching, the starting pitching lines up beautifully, and then they can perhaps send their fourth and fifth starters into the bullpen. It becomes this sort of perceived advantage that they might have if they can slip into the postseason. So we talk about that in Major League Baseball all the time. And in the College World Series, it is something akin to that as well. And you were alluding to that earlier. I remember with our Ole Miss run last year, that it wasn't just the sort of consistent hitting. It was the fact that at least you know once they got to the ace or the number two man, you were in a favorable position. There's a lot of teams that have that. There are many more teams that don't. What is the team that you trust with starting pitching specifically that might be one of those sneaky teams, or what is one of the ones that is at the top of the board that you're like, they don't have the starting pitching?
Right. And, you know, even though like LSU has a pretty simple draw, and I'm not going to jump in front of that train, but they bring in this unbelievable, they went hard at the transfer portal, and Paul Skeens who was at Air Force throws a 99. He's a two-way player. Like the guy is just like a built in a lab college baseball player, right? Who knows how his skills will translate to the next level, but in the college game, he is the perfect player. And his numbers, people were thinking, all right, he goes from the Mountain West to the SEC. That's a big jump. And he's been one of the best players in college baseball. Unbelievable. But you look down the line, and it, you know, of the, like, let's just call the pitchers who made say 15 appearances or more this season. A lot of, you know, relievers were, I think there were maybe 9-10 guys on their staff. I think there were two who had a sub 5 ERA. And now college baseball ERAs are much higher in general. It's not like you should compare that to Major League Baseball ERAs, but there's just not many arms who I trust, especially in late leverage situational spots for Jay Johnson's team at LSU, and say, all right, let's just extrapolate forward, say, to a super regional, or assuming that, you know, if they get to the College World Series, it's just not a team I trust once you get into these situations like we saw last year, where everybody at the College World Series could mash. And it really did come down to the individual pitchers, not only your ace or two starters, but the guys you had, you know, the 5, 6, 7 guys you could roll out in the pen. With how the pitch counts and everything, and how they try to protect these guys. So that is the one team I'm still concerned on. I know Matt Brown is there in Baton Rouge. He's gonna be a part of the crazy fans there. I assume they will still find a way to get out of the regional, but I would not be jumping in now with that price so short as the second favorite on the board. That is the one team I still do have concerns at. They're kind of like the equivalent of like a Tennessee last year, who had that amazing regular season and, as we know, kind of flamed out.
Matt Brown, who, by the way, had a cup of coffee pitching for LSU, if I'm not mistaken, in the day.
Yes.
You have a French Open play that still remains today? Anything?
Nothing for me today. And I wake up the other day, Q4 in the women's side. I wake up, oh, Caroline Garcia, out. Awesome for us. Yelena Ostapenko, out. Not awesome for you, but great for me. Mm-hmm. And then I watch in horror as Marketa von Grosevic just had nothing.
Horror. So, yes.
Yes. Well, I'm out. I'm going to change into my OGC Nice jersey, though, right after this. My favorite Ligue 1, just for you, Bill.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right.
Nothing.
Ben Wilson, everybody, on college baseball. This should be fun. I'm already obsessed.
Let's do it.
Ben Wilson, everybody, who you can find on the Twitter machine at Ben_Wilson_1. Always a pleasure to have him. We'll come back. More NBA Finals talk. Plus, where would Dame Lillard end up next year? Where will DeAndre Hopkins end up? We'll look at those betting markets as well. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits yet another way. Too many to count. That VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This gentleman is sending me his... This is Kev8T.F. Sorry if I didn't get that right. He has a Nuggets future play updated after Game 1. The bet was placed on July the 7th, the day the Nuggets signed Bruce Brown, and the day after they traded for KCP. He got him at 24-1. He's saying, should he let it ride or should he take the cash out? I say, let it ride.
Oh, man. This is the... Look, I'm not going to complain over hedging conversations. This is a... That's a big bet. But, Gil, these are the tickets. That guy's been holding on to that ticket for 11 months or whatever it is.
What has changed now that makes you want to cash out?
You've been right for 11 months, man.
Don't do that. Don't give him back equity.
Ride
Don't do
out.
That. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm not touching that.
By the way, if it loses, don't blame us. Disclaimer. Sam Wesley. I see Mira Andreeva at plus money tomorrow against Coco Gauff. Lock it in? Yes, lock it in. Lock it in, lock it in. Let
Decky,
me begin.
5 under. Let's go.
There you go. Offner back on serve in set number 3. One set apiece against Fognini. Let's go.
Let's get some winners, man.
Sloan, you want to pull away from this young lady? Anytime you're ready, just pull away. It's great with me. This is also, by the way, my college baseball World Series bets. Again, just to sort of put them out there again. One of the 6 that I made is already tostada, which, by the way, is not the Spanish translation of toast. I don't know why I said it that way. But Georgia at 150-1 is dunzo. That was a flyer. That's dunzo. But I have
done already.
Yeah, they didn't make it. No, they were always along. They were 150-1 for a reason. They had to, like, certain things had to happen before even the SEC tournament and then during the SEC tournament, and nary a thing happened. But the 5 that still exist, I got Clemson at 45-1. By the way, Porras has Clemson at 200-1.
Dang.
That dude. got Bama at 50-1. Bama was not widely available because of their sports betting scandal.
I still think that's true. I think they're still not widely
available. Yeah. And by the way, you got to check the rules. Like, if Bama were to win all of this, I think I saw some books said everything's refunded. I believe I saw that, but check the rules on that. By the way, can we throw that back up there for the other four? Just wanted to throw that. So
you would sure hope everything gets refunded. That was...
Well, yes. I'm just saying, make sure that they say that. Auburn, I have at 60-1. Texas at 60-1. By the way, you know what's not on there? A&M. I added Texas A&M at 55-1. My bad. So I actually did make a total of 7. Texas A&M at 55-1. So I actually have 6 going with 1 donezo. Last year we made 4. This year I made 7. Porras has more. He had like Iowa as a bet. He has Arkansas as a bet. I don't have either of those. So those are them. Clemson, Bama, Auburn, Texas, Campbell, and Texas A&M for young Gil.
Nice. I'm going to get involved at some point. College World Series is...
Dude, it's obsessive.
It is. It's a great watch. It's a great watch.
I was like in San Francisco last year when the World Series was going on, watching it streaming, going nuts because nobody couldn't find it, you know, anywhere that I was. Yeah, it was great. By the way, I just want to point out this tweet. Mr. Masterline. No, Vanderpump rules. He said this is from yesterday's show. Mark Meltzer, I watch as much Vanderpump as I do tennis, but Gil breaking down the former is 1 bajillion times more interesting. And from Brooklyn Betts, please tweet out your Vanderpump Rules reunion recap. I'm still LOLing, and I need to show it to my girlfriend.
I still can't get over Dan Bespris. What's rule number one?
What did he say?
What's rule number one?
That's right. It's not quite like the Jordan rules. It's just sort of the name of the show. Okay, so as far as the NBA Finals, let's reiterate what you like in game number 2. For me, this feels to me like as long as the games are in Denver, Nuggets ATS first half is the way to go. That did get home yesterday.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. It would be lean that way and full game for me, game 2. I'll just be looking to get involved live. I think that's you know, like I always talk about, hey, if you have pregame convictions like I did in game 1, you want to make that bet, but I want to save a bullet or two to fire live too, right? I think you have to do that with NBA betting. So you could argue I left a little money on the table yesterday because I didn't get involved live. I just had that -8 and rode that the whole way. I think it's also fine, though, for you not to be involved pregame at all and look to get involved live. That's what I'll be doing game 2 with Denver. Yeah. There's still the only side I have interest in, betting-wise, but it's going to take, you know, if Miami Heat get off to a hot shooting start or something like that, jumping live on the Denver side, I'll look to do that.
I just want to repeat this point because I feel like because we're so close to the sun on sports betting that we bend over backwards not to do sports talk radio, that sometimes I feel like the pendulum swings too much on this, and I've said this a few times now on this Miami Heat run. If the Miami Heat win this title, this is not only the greatest NBA thing we've seen in our lifetime, it's one of the great North American major sports stories of our lifetime, period, and might be at the top because this does not happen in the NBA. Happens in hockey all the time. You do not see anybody but the top-heavy teams win in the NBA. An 8 seed, again, it's only gotten to the NBA Finals once, and that was 1999. It was a 50-game lockout shortened season, and that was the Knicks, and they were best of 5s. This is best of 7s. This is a team that was down at the bottom of the league in metrics in so many categories that has rolled the Bucks. I know Giannis didn't play for a game and a half. I get it. Rolled them in 5. Barely got in the play-in, remember? Down 3 with less than 3 minutes left. Rolled the Bucks in 5, beat the Knicks in 6, then took down the Celtics in 7 in resounding fashion on the road in Game 7. I do believe the Nuggets are their kryptonite, but it deserves repeating one more time that if the Heat do this, this is off the charts and we need to sort of embrace that that's the case.
Yeah, we talk about it often, Gil. Hold those two thoughts in your head at the same time. Right?
Yes.
I can separate my betting losses from what an amazing amazing run this has been for the Miami Heat. If anything, people aren't talking about it enough. Just said, this is a historic run. I think if you asked odds makers, we've obviously been seeing that throughout the playoffs, odds makers, people like Drew Dinsick that set ratings throughout the year, one thing that's – it depends – as we go through the playoffs, obviously ratings and teams change. I know obviously Drew was heavier on the Nuggets than he was on the Celtics, but I know the Celtics were one of his higher rated teams all season long from the jump. There's a lot of us that had Milwaukee and Boston even as higher rated teams than Denver throughout most of the season and postseason. So for the I'm blown away they've gotten this far, Gil. The fact that you rolled through those two teams or at this point, that is something I did not see coming at all. I thought this was a team that I was fading in that division. I had bets on the Atlanta Hawks at the beginning of the season. Was frustrated those didn't get home because I thought they really had a chance when Miami did not play well during the regular season at all. You brought it up multiple times how close they were to being just eliminated in the play-in tournament. I think it's a credit. I know Adam Silver talked a little bit about it yesterday. I think it's a credit to the play-in tournament, too, this kind of story. For a team. Look, you gave other teams an opportunity. They end up coming out of the tournament. You're in the NBA Finals and deserve to be there, and it's been an incredible run, man. I don't think people are talking about it enough.
And anybody who's listened to this show know that I've beaten home the drum about the 82-game schedule, and really it might be a dirty data situation with the Heat, and maybe this is the tip of the iceberg of teams to come in the future. Maybe this is a one-off with the Heat, but this is something that will flummox people who are really big into NBA analytics for an 82-game schedule. This team has just bucked everything. So, yes, I do think while we're talking about our bets, we should appreciate what it is that we're seeing. And if they don't get there, well, it's just a sixth Eastern Conference title in 13 years, which is incredible.
And spinning it forward, I was thinking about this last night. Like, you are – if the Miami Heat will be in the heads of the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics for years to come because of what you're talking about with the Miami Heat and the regular season stuff, even if betters and whatever, we might not treat it that way year after year. You don't think Giannis and the Celtics that they're during the entire regular season next year are going to be thinking to themselves every time they play the Heat, well, this is a different team than what we're going to see in the playoffs. Like
100%.
You are right when you get to that point.
Yes.
100%. They have proven to us over a course of years that they're a better team once we get into the playoffs.
Random thought before we go to break. The other sort of off-the-cuff NBA news was that Adam Silver indicated he's reached a decision regarding the looming disciplinary action against Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, but will wait until after the NBA Finals to announce his decision and his punishment, quite frankly, to use the correct word. If you were pondering a Memphis Grizzlies bet, and first of all, if you were, boy, that's something. You got to hear this decision first because it could be half a year, right? It could be more than a half a year. And even if it were less, does it make you want to bet them?
No.
No.
I would be shocked if it's anything less than half a season.
I would be too. It's got to be a half. I'm going to say it's a half a season.
I think they might go more. Like, I think it might be.
Half a season's the betting favorite. 60 games will be the second short shot, I think. We'll come back. DeAndre Hopkins, Dame Lillard, where will these guys play next year? Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. As far as my tennis picks this morning, Peyton Stearns did lose in the overnight, but right now looking good anyway on these two that are going on right now. Sloane Stephens did win the first set by 3 games against Yulia Putintseva. We're giving 3.5. What could go wrong, Kelly? And then Sebastian Offner, the Peruvian. Juan Pablo Varillas is Peruvian. Sebastian Offner, right now 2-1 up on Fabio Fognini in the best of 5. He's a slight dog. What could go wrong there? The one that is still to come, Juan Pablo Varillas, that's the Peruvian, plus 211 against Hubert Hurkacz. That's coming up a little later on. Actually, I shouldn't say later on. Scheduled to go in about 15 minutes, but you know how this works with tennis. So that still to come on the tennis front. By the way, we get tweets, Kelly. I just want to read this one. I just want to read a couple here, actually. This is from David Dudley, was just able to grab Andreeva tomorrow. Mira Andreeva, we're talking, at plus 115 against Coco. This is from Nash, last name Nash. I'm holding a Nuggets 20-1 ticket from the beginning of the season. I'm with Kelly Why wait this long just to cash out three games away from it hitting? I believe I said that as well. Unless it's life-changing money, always let it ride, or else why tie up your money for months with the future? I love all the stuff that I say over the years, and then it sort of gets regurgitated back like
that. Well, it's one of those, we were both chuckling about it when we were talking about it before. Yeah. But it is the, I'm never going to, like, if locking in profit, I'm never going to argue against. But it is, like...
I would. Okay. I know we're overrun with people. I got to lock in profit anytime you have a chance. No, if you have the bet on your racket, don't lock it in.
No, I mean, what I was going to finish with is you're
100% right.
Like, I usually don't, but in golf betting, you have to. Like, it's one of those, it's so much, when you've got these longer shots in 20-1, like, I'm usually if I've got 40, 50, 60-1s, it's different because it's extremely volatile what could happen at the end of a golf match and stuff like that, or a round of golf that's different. But I think this is these are scenarios where I don't mind anybody who wants to lock in profit, but what I'm telling you, what I would do with that ticket is there's nothing I would do right now.
Agree 1,000%. And just think about all the times in sports betting when you're behind the eight ball in a bet.
Yes.
Right? And think about all the times where you're like, oh, this is a loser. This is drawing dead. So when you have the opportunity to win the correct amount of money to maximize your wager, you take it. You don't give back arbitrarily. That's just sort of my thought on that. This is from, let's see, Gilly Ice Butcher's my nickname is his handle. He goes, gracias, Gil, por hablar español cuando escucho el juego de números. Mad respect. That's for the Spanish-speaking people out there, right, Gilly. So
Roberto,
thank you very much,
Gilly.
What's that? What'd you say?
Roberto downstairs says muy bien.
Thank you, Roberto Moreno. Ray Pierce. Oh, I like this one. Ray Pierce, you're giving folks too much leeway, Gil, on the elevation versus altitude thing. Time to crack down or it's going to get away from you.
Wait, how did that get brought up?
That's the best tweet of the day. That was from I think, after yesterday's show. Ray Pierce. I didn't mention it yesterday. This goes back to a famous primetime action argument.
Oh, the biggest disagreement ever on the history of that show.
Me and Matt Brown going back and forth on the correct use of altitude versus elevation. And I'm in the elevation camp because when we talk about, playing in Denver and everybody uses altitude and there's radio stations called altitude this and altitude that. Elevation is above sea level, Kelly. Altitude is the floor to your face. But over time, we've decided we're allowed to use altitude commonly.
I like that I have to Google this.
And
every
by the
time.
Way, no one likes an English teacher. So sorry. I apologize in advance.
Elevation refers to the height of a point on Earth's surface mean sea level. Altitude is the vertical distance of a point or object above a reference point.
Thank you. What sounds more to you like the correct term there? Kelly's looking at it like he's not convinced that I'm right.
I feel like the definition I just read confused me more than what I thought it was before.
That's great. Anyway, I really appreciate
the
tweet.
They're playing at elevation.
Yes, they are playing in elevation.
Playing at elevation.
Thank you.
Because that is just the Earth's surface.
Thank you.
It's just above sea level.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know sometimes math breaks out on the show. Today, English broke out.
It's kind of both. It's a little English and math.
English and math. That's correct. Yeah. Let this be your takeaway. That's your pro tip for the hour, everybody.
Man, you got a little Espanol, a little English, and a little math in that.
What a show. What a show this is. Damian Lillard. I mean, it's not just now, but it seems like every year and then multiple times during a year, everybody speculates, what's going to happen with Dame time? Is he going to stay in Portland for his whole career, a la Bradley Beal, for instance, in Washington? Dame, precursor to Bradley Beal, but you get the idea. Or will he be moved on to greener pastures in the NBA and actually have a real shot, legit shot, at a title? And then when Wembanyama didn't go to Portland, remember Portland had one of the top four picks. There was some drama there for a moment, and then it went to San Antonio when Wembanyama did. So Damian Lillard, next team odds, these are up at DraftKings. The Blazers remain the -500 favorites. Then it's everybody in double digits. Sixers 10-1, Nets 16-1, Lakers and Celtics 20-1, and then everybody longer than that. Is this just a guess? I mean, let's just start there. Does this have any basis in anything to even have an educated guess?
No, not really. Okay. All these teams are like random.
Feels random.
The Sixers, you can make a case. All right, Sixers and Nets. I can make the case for why they're shorter odds than the rest of the teams, right? The Sixers have this James Harden situation going on. We have no idea what's going to go on with that. You could make an argument that if you free up the James Harden money that you could actually go after a Damian Lillard who, okay, you would think wants to chase a title. The Sixers have that type of talent. I can make the argument why they should be shorter odds than the rest of these teams. The Nets, they have a lot of assets that they could trade for a player like Damian Lillard. So that would be the argument for them, but I don't really know that either one of those is extremely likely. You and I and John Goulet, actually, what we spoke about this after the show, like last week about Damian Lillard. And what's fascinating to me is this dude, I think he'll get traded if he wants to get traded.
If he wants to get traded.
If he wants to get traded.
Do you think he does? I'm not sure he
does. Only if he wants to, Gil, because I'm going to tell you this, why a lot of people are talking about this right now is because they are still up there in the draft order. They have the third overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
So the thinking here is, okay, you're going to ride with Damian Lillard at the tail end of his career, or are you going to make a play for a Scoot Henderson who could be a franchise-changing guard at a very young age that could propel your future forward?
That's interesting.
But then you're loaded up in the backcourt. The problem is you go draft him. There's not enough shots to go around.
There's not enough basketballs to go around. So if you end up with Scoot, by the way, again, it's Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. To the Victor go the spoils with him. Mm-hmm. Number one to San Antonio. And then is it Scoot Henderson? Is it Brandon Miller?
Right, which is basically a coin flip.
It's a coin flip. So if Brandon Miller ends up at three, Dame is more likely to stick around. If it's Scoot, maybe Dame's time to scoot, if you know what I mean.
Right. There you go. So like that, I think that's where a lot of people are coming up with this trade idea. But the one thing I keep coming back to is who the heck in the city of running the Trailblazers is making the decision to ship Damian Lillard out of town when he has been one of the
national,
most,
city treasure, civic treasure.
Devoted to a team to a fault, you could argue, yeah. I would argue. Like, this guy has given you everything he's had for his entire NBA career, and you're going to trade him?
By the way,
in a city that doesn't have much going on sports-wise?
This has nothing to do with anything. I'm not recommending the bet, but the Heat are 30-1. How great would they be looking right now if they had him? My goodness.
We've been talking about Damian Lillard or Russell Westbrook to the Miami Heat for about 10 years, it feels
yeah.
like.
What was your Russell Westbrook winning bet that you lucked into a couple years ago? What was that again?
No, it was the bubble Heat. It was the bubble Heat. I had a ticket on them to win it all, but it was because of...
You thought Russell Westbrook was going to the Heat.
I had a couple drinks with a friend who maybe did some work in the NBA, who I heard was got a report that they were aggressively pursuing Russell Westbrook at the time.
Real quick from Dame time to D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, who is available.
Yeah.
We talked to Pritch about this the other day. DeAndre Hopkins, who has played his career with the Texans and the Cardinals, now gets a chance to actually try to win a Super Bowl. Bills are the short shot, +250. Chiefs are +330. Some of these teams are not like the others. After that, it goes Brownies, Patriots, Texans. He's not going back to Texans. And then everybody else double digits. Pritch thought the Cowboys at 12-1. What do you think? I have no sense of this whatsoever.
I don't think it's crazy. I don't. If you were going to bet this market, wouldn't you look at a longer shot?
You would, but at the same time, if you forced me to bet, let's say your life depended on a bet. If your life depended on a bet, wouldn't you just bet the Chiefs at +330 or something like that? It's Bills or Chiefs, right? Because if you're D-Hop, why are you going to chance it? Just, I'm going to the Bills or the Chiefs. That's the end of the story.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not making that bet.
It comes down to money with Buffalo and Kansas City, and they've kind of already set up their wide receivers.
Well, that's the conversation I had with Pritch. It's like, what's his priority, money or a Super Bowl? And we cannot assume either, for sure. But those are bettable, both at DraftKings. I don't love either. Daniel Alvari on the WNBA next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Danielle Alvari joins us, our former co-host at Primetime Action, with Primetime Action back in the day. She's the host of DraftKings Starting Five and, of course, a VSiN host all the while. Danielle, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
You're staying at the Majestic South Point Hotel
Casino? Of course. Of course. Wouldn't stay anywhere else.
Yes, you would.
Hardwood floors, Gil.
She starts
hardwood
with
flooring.
Una mentira right off the bat. It is hardwood flooring. It's a wonderful development here. So yeah.
Plus the hot dog stand right outside the studio.
South Point rooms are lovely with the hardwood. Yeah. You don't partake in the hot dogs, do you?
No, it was closed last night when I went by.
Oh, you tried.
Yeah, saved me from myself.
Not for lack of trying.
Well, so, because it opens up at 11 a.m. and closes at 4 p.m.
That's right.
For some reason. So, but the only knock on the hot dog.
That's the only knock. Otherwise, it's glorious. All right, so I just mentioned you're the host of DraftKings Starting Five. That is the real reason you're in town, not to appear here on the show. No?
Different DraftKings show.
Different DraftKings show. Mm-hmm. Oh, what show is that?
It's called The Break. They just shot their first episode of it yesterday. They're doing it again today on Friday. It's a live stream that goes directly to DraftKings YouTube. It's called The Break, and they break open basketball playing cards. At least we're doing basketball today. Of course, we'll do lots of different collectibles and cards. But it's called Breaking Wax, if you will, when they open up the card pack. So
yes, it is.
It's called The Break. And so they're doing it again today live. And one of the card boxes we're doing today is worth $160,000. They're looking for the Michael Jordan rookie card. So really cool.
So for that's those awesome. Of us who have been into collectibles for whatever portion of our lives that we've been in, these break shows have existed for a while. And
yes.
They're super popular, right?
Yes.
I guess you've gotten a sense of that real quick.
Yeah, it was very exciting yesterday. I know we pulled some Jason Tatum cards yesterday out of the ones we were looking at. We were looking at 17, 18 rookie years and also looking for Magic Johnson, Larry Bird cards yesterday. But today, I know we have that pack coming up. I believe that one's at 3 p.m. Pacific time if anybody wants to tune in live to see if we can pull that Michael Jordan rookie card.
Where can they tune in again?
It's on the DraftKings YouTube live.
On the DraftKings YouTube live.
They're pulling these live.
Do you know the value offhand of that Jordan card?
No. But I have to imagine well over seven figures just based on what I've heard based on the other cards.
Good God.
Yeah.
Matt, we were saying off air, Kelly was. Matt Brown should be a part of it. Matt Brown is super into this. Are you still doing that hot shot stuff or what was it called?
You know what? Let me catch you up on that real quick, y'all. It's NBA Top Shot, okay?
Top Shots, pardon me.
I have not sunk any money into it recently. I've had several conversations with Isaiah Wrinkle about taking over my account to just try to sell stuff away because there's a lot of money sitting in it that just I've done nothing with.
Mm.
So,
it's an investment.
A great investment, as you both joked about the from the jump. Most recent sale of a Jordan rookie card, over $1 million.
Over what? That all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bro, my buddy in the early 80s, they would have these perforated tops basketball cards, and there was one with like Bird and Jordan on it or something like that. He's got one of those.
Mm-hmm. Might have been the one we were looking for yesterday.
Oh, maybe it. I think it was Bird and Jordan. Do you know that our own Brent Musburger, do you know the story about Brent Musburger with collectibles? Sorry, I'm a little off topic here.
No.
Mickey Mantle rookie, 1952, tops, like the gem of all gem Mickey Mantle cards. He has not one but two of them.
What?
Oh, yeah. Brent's got two. He's talked about it on air, so I'm not talking out of school.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So again, the time and the place for it is the break.
Today we'll be doing that box at 3 p.m. Pacific time, so 6 p.m. Eastern. But the first break will happen at 2 p.m., so an hour before.
Good for you. So you got the break going, and then you got the starting five going.
Starting five just wrapped, too. We just did our final episodes for the season because it was an NBA show. So as the season winds down, of course. But really, really fun season. Hopefully back next year.
I'm sure you'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was the nicest guest? Who was the guest you liked the most?
Nicest guest? Not or like nicest, most entertaining? One,
most entertaining.
Who'd most you... entertaining was Iman Shumpert for me. I've said this. People have asked me this already. And he's an incredible storyteller. Like so well-faceted in different areas of life. As you know, has won Dancing with the Stars alongside his NBA prowess.
Of course I know this, Danielle.
Yeah. I knew that Gil would know that. But... yeah, just really, he was a really fun guest. And then most recently, we had on Isaiah Thomas, and he kind of shared about how he went through that finals with the Celtics and had lost his sister. And it was really like he was very vulnerable about it. So I thought he was the guest that opened up the most. So that was definitely a can't miss episode.
We've all seen that Kobe story he tells on all over Instagram where he's like, and Kobe said, "Nice game, kid," after the third quarter.
Yep. He said Kobe texted him after his sister passed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, gave him a really nice, encouraging text. Basically said, I know you're going through a lot, you know, but if you're going to play, play.
Wow.
Like, really, really go out there and do it. So, obviously, he tells the story a lot better than I do, so definitely go catch that episode on DraftKings YouTube.
Real quick, since you bring up Dancing with the Stars, you're not watching Vanderpump by any chance, are you?
I'm not. Oh, okay. I know nothing about the show. My friend got married, like, a bunch of years ago when the show was first starting. We did the bachelorette party in L.A., and she said, can we go to the Vanderpump restaurant? I was like, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Yeah. And we went.
Do you know what the first rule is? We're still trying to figure it out.
We're trying to
figure
it out. I don't know anything about it either, Dan.
But we ate there, and it was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the food, the places are not spectacular.
Okay.
All right, just thought I'd randomly bring that up because maybe somebody wants, talked about it yesterday. Okay, WNBA. Here's what the layman knows about the WNBA thus far this year.
Is that you? Are you the layman?
Maybe. Okay. I could be the layman. Maybe. I think I speak for some
people.
There we
go, yeah.
That the Aces are awesome.
Sure.
Awesome to the point that not only are they 4-0, but their point differential average is 24.7 points.
Uh-huh.
Should we all just be betting them to win it all right now?
It's a fun ticket to have, right? Because I know a friend who had it last year, too, and it was, I think, the shortest you could get it last year was like plus 200. There was never really a time it floated above that. I don't know if that's an exciting future to have, but if you want it, you can grab it.
Well, so let's take that as an example. I could have gotten 2-1 on them last year. This team is better than it was a year ago, right, Danielle?
But there's now another super team in the league in the New York Liberty. So that's the main difference from last year. What I will say is last year with the Aces, we sort of had what we're seeing with the Liberty where we're waiting to see what they're going to look like when they gel all together. The Aces don't have that problem. They added Candace Parker. They lost Erica Hamby, but that was about it. They kept everybody else together. The New York Liberty are getting a little better every game as they figure out this offense. And when they do, it's going to be this incredibly lethal offense. You've already started to see it. Brianna Stewart already broke the record for the franchise record for the Liberty in points in a game in their first home game. She had 45. So this is just going to continue to snowball as the season goes on.
Hmm. If I said to you, hey, if I come to you in the future and I say one of the Aces or Liberty did not make the finals, mm-hmm. who's the team?
So I asked this question of a lot of our WNBA experts headed into the season, and I think a lot of people leaned towards Liberty only because they've had less time together. But I had one person say the Aces, and only because it's hard to run it back.
But who's the team that then would replace the absent team?
Right now, it looks like the Connecticut Sun. They've really firmly put themselves in that three spot. And more so, it's just because they've already played the Mystics in a home-and-home, and they won both games. Mm. So I think that's more the Mystics have some things to figure out with their offense. They're looking a little bit confused on that end. And they are playing again today after being off for a week. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they've done in that week off to kind of address those issues. I thought the Mystics were the team that was kind of the dark horse, the 14-1, the third shot. But the Sun are kind of putting themselves in that spot right now. The Mystics have Elena Deladon, Shakira Austin, totally capable to be in that spot as well, but just don't look that way yet.
Sun, 18-1 to win it all. Aces plus 115, Liberty plus 145. Those two teams, not like any of the others. Everybody else, double digits. Mm-hmm. Any plays on games this weekend from you?
There's four games today because, as you know, the NBA Finals started yesterday. So there was one game that was scheduled virtually at the exact same time, which is unfortunate. But there's four games today, which normally we see them more so concentrated on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But we have four today. The New York Liberty are playing at the Chicago Sky. As you can imagine, huge point spread. I was guessing the lines for this girl. I thought you'd be so proud of me. I guessed the lines, and I was pretty close on all of these, only off by like a half a point.
Nice.
So pretty proud of these. And the totals as well. But I had this around a Liberty minus 11. It came out at 10.5. So that seems about right on point for me here. It's also going to be a homecoming game for Courtney Vandersloot. I would love to bet her assists over because she is just the main ball distributor on this team right now, but they don't have that offered. So maybe a Kalia Copper over 14.5 points would be something interesting.
So don't run to auto bet the Aces minus the 12.5. Don't like just auto bet that without thought.
No, the Atlanta Dream have covered 6 of the last 10 spreads against the Aces. I know we're dating back to a couple years, but where the spread has been double digits.
Remember when Kelly and Matt just made Atlanta dream bets?
Is my ticket still alive?
Real quick, was that MVP that flashed up there a second ago?
Yep.
Real quick, did you have a play for WNBA MVP in that market at all?
I don't have a play yet. I'd love to see the odds again. Yeah, Elena Deladon was plus 750 before the season. Now you're getting her at 6-1. Alyssa Thomas was 40-1, even as long as 100-1 before the season. And look at that drop down to plus 650. So nothing for me right now. Maybe Brittany Griner 12-1 if you wanted one.
Brianna Stewart, the short shot, plus 180. Asia Wilson here at the Aces, plus 370.
That's a nice price on Asia.
It is, plus 370. Yeah. Thank you, Danielle. Great to see you.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate the drop by. We've done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.